On this episode of the Real Life Caddy podcast, Zabo and myself bring you another fast-paced and fun look into the life of being a golf caddy. We kick things off with our caddy stories. We both worked for a group of total degenerates from Richmond, Virginia. Now, these lads definitely knew how to have fun both on and off the golf course, and there are a couple of great stories that you'll really enjoy. This episode was recorded during the week of the AT&T tournament in which we were both working. It was an opportunity for me to roast Zabo about his shocking behaviour at caddy hospitality. If I was ever in doubt of Zabo's status as a lifer caddy, it was reinforced this week. As always, we answer some great listener mailbag questions where the Zabo roasting continues. At the end of the episode, we give out our notable mentions. If you have any questions or comments, please send them in on social media or via email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Many thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 104 of this Real Life Caddy podcast. Myself and Mike Zabo are here with you.
We are.
This one's called Dinner, Bed and Breakfast, Mike. Any idea? Any idea why that is?
I have an inkling of why you named it that, yes.
Yes, I love it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely tremendous. I've been waiting to say this for, 48 hours.
You've been looking forward to this one. It hasn't been that long since we recorded the last one, but you've really been looking forward to this to just get that knife into Zabo's side just a little more.
Well, listen, do the crime, do the time.
I wouldn't call it a crime. I mean, I'm just living the life of a caddy over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna explain more about dinner, bed, and breakfast. Firstly, we're outside in the sunshine.
We are. A beautiful day. We're looking at the Wednesday before AT&T begins. Correct. We're less than 24 hours away from our tee-off times.
Exactly. We are. Yeah. So
we're both working the tournament. We both got got loops in the tourney, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, episode 103 is out today, and we're already recording 104, which is, by the time people listen to this, the AT&T and the Waste Management will both be distant memories.
Correct, but a lot's happened in the short week since we recorded the last one.
I know. So we start every episode with caddy stories. However, before we get to that, just a quick update. We will have a new theme tune for episode 105.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one too. I'm looking forward to it.
We have the first demo of that, and we just need to do some audio ourselves. And then, so that's something to look forward to in 105. So if you're not already subscribed, subscribe to the podcast. Caddy stories, Michael, what you got?
The biggest thing, caddy story that's happened since the last episode is our good friend Mitch Rigsby was back in town.
Yeah, get his name right.
Rigsby, Mitch, you know I love you, Mitch. But yeah, oh my God, this was actually my first time with this group, and it was just classic. These are kind of our kind of guys. They like mm-hmm. they like the drink, and they like to be in that fully medicated state. And
yes,
different medicines for different ailments too. I mean,
you have a lot of people who have been listening to this podcast for since the beginning, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what number this was, but a couple of years ago, a golfer offered me an Advil.
What you thought was an Advil, yes.
What I thought. I was walking from the tee over to the water dispenser, and I heard Advil. And when I took the pill, it was like a light blue. And I thought, well, I take ibuprofen, and they're orange. And I thought, oh, that's strange.
Yeah.
And then when he said to me, oh, it'll take about 15 minutes to kick in, and I was like, what, no one's ever said to me ibuprofen will take 15 minutes to kick in.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was Adderall. Which anyone that knows me knows that I don't need Adderall. So
G does not lack words when he's not medicated. Yeah. When you give him a little bit of that Adderall,
so this was the Adderall boy. He was back in town, Mitch.
He was back at it with quite the crew. We had JR, Mike, and Amir. Oh, God, Amir. I love Amir. Yeah, Amir started off super shaky, too. He was, like, really nervous on the first tee. Remember what I said? Like, he had no hip turn at all, and he like, topped it off to the left, and then the second one wasn't that much better. And I'm like, boy, sure you want to put Amir back here on the golds? And
That's right.
Yeah, but
straight out of the blocks, you didn't hold back. That was beautiful.
I was really worried about Amir when we first. I was like, oh man, this guy is awful. And it turns out he was just bad. He wasn't awful. He could get it around. He could get it around.
Well, Mitch was the contact, and he was texting me. He's been. I think he first said he was coming out about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way all golf trips start. I have a video idea that I'm going to do of how every guy's golf trip starts. I don't say gals because I've never come across a group of girls that hit it like the boys we see.
Oh God!
But every guy's golf trip kind of starts the same, and it starts about maybe 6 to 12 months out. Mm-hmm. The excitement, the group text, the back and forth.
Oh yeah!
And by the end of it, they're crippled,
tail between their legs.
So he started texting me about 6 months ago. I put it in the diary. Sorry, I got my wife to put it in the calendar, the second calendar, the Mike.
There you go. Got the calendar working, the correct calendar.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you told me this morning, the wife said you threw her under the bus.
Yeah, but she probably knew it was coming. I mean, yeah. It was actually her idea, so. Just
Zabo trying to blame his wife and not on taking a better paid loop. Love that. Mitch had been texting me for months, mm-hmm. and he gives me a breakdown of the players.
That's not, you know, not knowing Mitch now and not knowing him before, I could totally see that. Yes. Mitch gives you probably a whole like
bio,
a whole like 2-page essay on who they are and what they're about.
Here's their LinkedIn profile. So he had said how handicaps, he'd give me a rundown of the handicaps 2 weeks ago because he was asking what tees to play.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what are the handicaps?
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me what the handicaps were. And he had, I'm guessing Amir was the 13, right?
I had Amir down as the 13? No, because Amir was getting 2 on some holes. He's like a 21 or 22.
Well, he didn't say that in the text,
gotcha,
right?
Gotcha.
So straight away I knew who the high handicapper was in the first tee because he hit one off of a tree and then out of bounds.
Yeah, I was very worried for Amir.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, again, we don't care. The quality of golf is irrelevant. But the boys, they hit it hard. It was right out the gates. I think they got here on the Wednesday. They had a 12-hour sleep, and then they didn't hold back in getting fully medicated from the first hole.
From the first hole, they continued into the night. And they started early the next day. If they even went to bed, they started early. I mean, they didn't stop the whole time they were here. It was impressive, really. I mean,
I would say Amir was my favorite because he was kind of the silent, older head and shoulders.
Yeah, I looped for Amir every day, and I loved the guy. He was awesome.
What was it he said to you in the 13th hole that day? Didn't he say that he was going easy? What was his exact words?
I forget his exact words, but he definitely said, you know, these guys are a few years younger than me. I'm not doing that all day.
I thought he said something about, no, I'm just hitting the gummies. That's what.
Yeah.
About that. Yeah. 50 milligram gummies.
Yeah, he's scaling it back. Those other guys are, yeah.
I don't know anything about gummies personally, but I do know that people take 5 and 10s, and if you're throwing down 50s.
Yeah, that's not taking it easy.
It's like a horse tranquilizer. Yeah. Now, the funny story that came out of this weekend of these guys would have been they were driving back onto property.
Oh, good God. Wait till you hear this.
So they've rented a big SUV. Mm-hmm. It's a sports utility vehicle for the non-Americans. This thing's like, when the president comes in, you've seen the movies.
Yeah.
What's the one with Harrison Ford in it? Patriot Games and
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. Who's the one he goes to Columbia? Is that him as well?
I think so, yeah.
And you see this fleet of big trucks and mm-hmm. vans. That's what they're driving. It's about a $100,000 vehicle.
Yeah, it's a big old Suburban, like fully decked out Suburban same sort of type of car.
So they've been off campus playing around the golf, and they're coming back on campus. They get stopped by security.
Mm-hmm. There's gates coming into the force. They get stopped, and they're like, okay, where are you
Amir's
going?
Driving.
Yeah, Amir is driving. And
so he puts the window down and says, oh, yeah. So you're the Uber driver, yeah, who are the guests?
Ridiculous. And this guy, Amir, he's like...
His family's from India, right?
Yeah.
So, but I thought, wow, shots fired.
Unbelievable. And then they all just die laughing, as they should, because it's hilarious. They're calling their buddy the Uber driver, when he's probably... I mean, I don't know everybody in the group, but he's probably the wealthiest guy out of those. He owns like 17 hotels, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're the Uber driver.
He's minted. Hats off to him. He's a bulletproof. You're not going to offend him.
You're not. But you're not. He's a good man.
Who? What Uber driver drives a 100 grand car?
I know. Seriously. Well, those Indian Uber drivers apparently.
I don't know. Just with the location of where we live, close to Silicon Valley, and you'll see a lot of Indians down this neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And for somebody to just wow.
That is absurd that that happened.
I very much doubt the security guard was trying to make a joke of it.
No, they were being very serious, I'm sure. Yeah. Ridiculous.
One of the boys, Johnny.
JR, my man, JR.
His week ended up with him crying at half
Did
past.
It?
Yeah, 3:30 in the morning. He told me a story. He kind of shared it. I'm not going to repeat the full story, but.
He was an emotional guy to begin with. He had a lot of feelers out there. Yeah.
They're all border. Well, no, a couple of them are borderline gay. But I think we could throw that into the video of how every guy's golf trip starts. I mean, how it finishes,
yeah,
which is basically,
sure.
You know, it's as if you've been to war. And mm-hmm. I got to say, Rigsby's did send me a text last night.
He sent me a few texts as well since the trip.
This is what it read. I said, he was texting me.
Okay.
And I says, sleep well, big kiss to your wife. He says, you know what she said to me today that was hilarious and the boys couldn't stop laughing? Her exact statement. My wife just compared my behaviour the last couple of days to someone who got deployed for a couple of years and is just getting back from war.
Is it just the post-traumatic stress of the whole trip?
Yeah, he looks as if he's been in the jungle, but that's how the boys finished. Now, the low light, well, actually, Amir, he was actually thrown off property at a private country club for using his phone inside the clubhouse.
He was. They're very strict over there. I've witnessed it firsthand, and I'm not surprised that happened.
What do you think about these like rules like that these days?
It's absurd. It's absurd. I mean, it's the world we live in, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And some of these clubs are so old school like that. You can't change your shoes in the parking lot. They don't want to see you changing your shoes. You can't. Oh, if your shirt's just if there's a wee bit untucked, oh, they gotta come up to you and tuck that shirt in.
Did you say a wee bit? I love that.
It's true. I mean, I've seen it at this club that he got booted out of, you know, and the cell phone. Oh, God, that's a big no-no. You don't touch your cell phone if you're in the clubhouse.
Yes, I have to agree. It seems absurd. But at the same time, it almost would be liberating.
To what?
Not have your phone. Wouldn't you not be nice to not have your phone for 5 hours?
Yeah, I could see it. But to get booted out of the club for actually being on it, you agree with that?
Maybe because he was Indian. That's what I think. Yeah. I don't want to get anything to do with the phone.
Yeah.
kick out the Uber driver.
Wow.
I went to the same club on Saturday.
You did? Oh, yeah. I had dinner. How'd that go?
That was really nice, but I had to borrow. I think it was 3XL.
Which is kind of absurd if you think about it, because come tournament time, all the caddies there are allowed to wear shorts. So there you go.
That's what they said. They went, listen, on Monday you can wear them, but
not today, buddy.
So I don't know. Listen, it's a private club.
They can do what they want.
They can do what they want. Yeah. That's why I think, you know, if they don't want women members, if they don't want...
They don't want a mirror on his cell phone.
If they don't want Uber drivers, they don't want, you know, that's up to them.
It is.
So I personally think... If you go to a club and they have all these rules, respect the rules or don't go.
Correct.
So that is what the privilege of having a club.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what our opinion of it is.
I mean, it's never going to change.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's their rules and you either like it or pound sand.
I know a guy who is a member of a club up close to San Francisco, but it's inland, so it's really, really hot. And for about 8 years, he's asked me if I want to go up and play.
Uh-huh.
But one of the rules is you're not allowed to wear shorts.
Seriously?
Right. So I don't go.
Wow. Yeah.
That's my choice.
It. Yeah.
Listen, their rules, their club. Good for them.
I don't have to play.
But as much as I hate rules, I actually think if you have a club, have as many rules as you want.
Good point.
What I would say about the wee Johnny, right, started crying at the end. He had a man bun.
He did have a man bun. Yeah, and we never really ragged on him in person for it. And I don't know if he knows how we feel about man buns, but...
Yeah, John.
Time to give it up.
Unless you are a European tennis player.
Footballer.
I would even draw the line there. Not really? A big fan of that. No,
there's
no.
A lot of European footballers with man buns, aren't there?
There was a time they went through. There was a lot of man buns, but he looked really cool with the hair down when I first saw him, and the next thing it's in a bun, and I thought to myself, Mitch obviously hasn't told him much about us.
Actually, it's funny enough, I caddied for him the first day. He had no man bun, and then as soon as you got him, he put it in the bun.
No. I had the man bun the first day.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. It's the first thing I noticed. I said to Mitch, I went, what's going on here?
Man bun, huh?
Hanging around with this mob. But I think if I was a member of a club, I would definitely put a motion towards having no man buns.
Yeah.
No man bun. And we did see man bun this week.
We did see him?
Yeah, we saw him at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We'll have to get him on the podcast because he's now no longer has the man bun.
He does not, but he will be always known as the man bun.
That is a perfect segue into the reason this episode is called Dinner, Bed and Breakfast. On Monday morning, Zabo and I were on the phone. We had one of those online meetings with a company about giving them some advice.
Mm-hmm, we did.
Which they may or may not take.
They should.
Zabo called me straight after, and he said, so this is Monday, this is 2 days ago, this is Monday morning.
This is AT&T week, just so, yeah.
7 o'clock in the morning, or something like that. And Zabo calls me, and he said, blah, 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 blah.
Verbatim, that's what I said.
And then he said, do you want to meet for breakfast? Now, when he says meet for breakfast, he's not saying let's go down to the breakfast club, he's not saying let's go to Denny's. He is saying, the AT&T is in town, we have a caddy tent, and we have hospitality.
Caddy hospitality, baby, yeah.
So I said to him, maybe this is after we spoke, maybe this was over text, I think it was over text. I said, what time are you teeing off? And his reply, Wednesday 2 p.m.
True story.
Which I thought was gold. So he then goes up, I've got a half 10 tee off time, so I didn't really go up there for much, and because I don't want to spend my time up at the golf course.
I mean, I go there. They got a ping pong table up there. I like to play a little ping pong.
Yes.
They got breakfast. They got lunch. I mean, they have a glorious sponsor for lunch, as you love, Chipotle.
I then did my practice run. I actually did a practice run. I worked. I was an active caddy that day, and when I got up to the tent, I was going to get a burrito. It was closed. And Zabo texts me. You text me during the round a picture of your Chipotle.
I did.
And you said lunch.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
And then I said, there's no Chipotle left because all the non-working caddies ate it all. And you said,
incorrect.
You said
rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake.
Monday, they're only open till 2 p.m. You got to look at their hours. They posted the hours.
So I'm just thinking, you're a total scurp. You are the guy. This happened to Man Bun at the senior event a couple of years ago, where I dropped my wife off at work on the Sunday morning, and there he is. I says, what are you doing? Did you make the cut? And he went, no, I'm just coming for breakfast.
You know, I think I saw him with his badge, and he was getting turned away by security for AT&T. He was trying to walk in cat after another. What are you talking about? Yeah, this is the PGA Tour. This is not the Champions Tour. You need to get out of here, sir.
Matt Manbon knew all of the volunteers by name, and yeah, I think I'm surprised.
Good move.
He didn't turn up on Monday just for some free food. So that's why it's called Dinner, Bed and Breakfast, because Zabo is living at the caddy hospitality, and he's not even working yet.
And come to find out, today is Wednesday. I don't even have a practice round today. I'm doing zero practice rounds, and I will, after this podcast, be going to Caddy Hospitality to get my lunch.
You're joking. Now, guess who I saw coming into Caddy Hospitality for the free food? Golfer? Guess.
Jesper Parnevik.
No. It was actually El Cheapo himself, Matt Kuchar.
No way. Is he playing this week?
Yeah, he's playing this week, and he was in. I've seen him.
He's never going to pass up free Chipotle.
No, I've only been in the tent four times in 3 days, every time I've seen him.
Seriously?
Yeah.
With Chipotle every time?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't understand why someone would purposely drive 15 minutes to go for a free Chipotle.
Well, you're talking to me. I do it every day, so.
Yeah, and you stocked up in Imodium, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Well, you got to, I mean, it's Chipotle.
Start shiting yourself
in
the golf course.
You got to know what food you're eating, I mean.
What do you have in your burrito? Or what do you have? Are you going through the whole menu, or is there very little there?
No, I just say everything. So I do the bowls. I don't do the burritos. I get a bowl, white rice, black beans, and then put everything on it. Well, the barbacoa. I get the barbacoa. They don't even have, see, that's
What's
the thing.
The
they
barbacoa?
Don't even, The barbacoa is the shredded beef. They don't even have the carne asada, the actual steak.
Yeah.
Which I find a little absurd because that is the best thing on your Chipotle menu and they don't even have it there. So
yeah, it's kind of limited, I felt.
It is limited.
I'll not eat that more than once.
Have you already had it?
I had a burrito yesterday and it was okay. I'm not, listen, I don't want to get a reputation for complaining about
free food,
free things, yeah, right?
Good point.
But I feel as if it's a bit of a sellout. Oh, we'll give them a big brand name. Oh, we'll throw a Chipotle in there and people will feel like...
Yeah, I can agree. But your breakfast is pretty good. They got good yogurt parfaits with some granola and donuts. They bring in Red's donuts. I mean, it's pretty good spread.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen that either. No. I don't know. To me, when you look at the amount of money that's getting spent... Like where would these events be with no volunteers?
Good question. You know, nowhere.
We have the young Nazis who are going to become police officers. They are doing all the traffic.
Oh God, that's a totally different conversation. But my goodness, not good. One's telling you to go, the other one's telling you to stop. I don't know, go. But what should I do? Who should I listen to?
I don't. Whose decision is that?
Oh, God. And every year. You get frustrated every year. Because they have the regular cop standing right next to him, and he's just watching the kids botch this the whole time. It's absurd.
Yeah. They're fighting the gene pool.
It's
brutal. I drove past one. He tried to jump in front of the truck. I thought, what are you doing?
Yeah. They jump right out in front of the cars.
And then he sees the pass. Oh. Doesn't say sorry. So they're getting well-trained, aren't they? But AT&T Week... Another thing that's happened is there's a couple of boys I carry for who went to college out in the East Coast. I've forgotten the name, Brigden or something like that. And I did a social media post and one of them, his name's Lane, texted me and said, oh, who are you working for? I told him who I'm working for. And then he said, look out for Alex and my friend. He finished tied 25th at Torrey Pines last week. He's a really good guy. His name's Callum Tarran.
Yep, right? Callum Tarran.
Callum. Let's say it again.
Callum Tarran.
Callum.
Callum.
You're saying Colin.
No, Callum.
Callum.
Callum. Callum. Callum.
Callum Tarran.
Callum.
And I'm checking all the, because the AT&T, for people that don't know, is a pro-am, 3 days. And you get paired with a professional golfer, and the amateur plays with them.
Yeah, they play with them the first three rounds, and then if they play well enough, 25 teams make the cut for Sunday.
Anyway, I'm checking the pairing last night to see who our pro is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other amateur in our group, guess who their pro is? I can't remember who ours is.
Callum Tarran.
Callum Tarran. There you go. So I've never met him.
I've heard good things about him. I've heard from a few different people that he's a really good dude, and he's been playing good golf the last couple of years.
Well, he's from England, so we should have a good bit of patter. I'm looking forward to it, and we will report back on a later episode. Is there anything else from the AT&T that springs to mind?
Well, I had an interesting interaction with another caddy when I was... picking up my free Chipotle as I usually do.
Before you go on to that, right? Is there nothing in you at all that's embarrassed about like turning up two or three times a day when you're not actually even working?
Not a damn thing. You know, this is how my week goes. Like usually I do caddy hospitality the first couple of days, and then when the tournament starts, I don't go up there at all because I drive my player to and from the course.
I don't believe that.
You know, it's true.
Oh, you're going to be in there.
I'm going to try. Well, sometimes he likes a little Chipotle himself, so he's not opposed to getting a little Chipotle here and there. Okay. So anyways, one day I'm sitting there enjoying my Chipotle, and another fellow caddy from the resort walks up and sits down, and I'm like, hey, Brian, how's it going? He's like, good. And I'm like, yeah, just shooting the breeze with him. I'm like, so who you got this week? And he's like, oh, I got blah, 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 CEO of this big tech company. I was like, oh, you know what? I caddied for him just 6 months ago. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, did you negotiate pay with him or anything? He's like, no, we haven't talked about it yet. I'm like, oh, man, well, let me just tell you, I caddied for him like 6 months ago, and, he was telling me how he plays in the AT&T every year. He gets this other caddy, Mike, that we know, and he's like, you want to caddy for me in AT&T this year? And I said, well, no, I got a guy, can't. He's like, well, let me take your number down. So I give him my phone number. And at the end of the round, he gives me an absurdly low gratuity. And I'm like,
yes.
Oh, no. I'm like, what did I, why did I just give this guy my phone number? This is ridiculous. So I forget about it, really, mm-hmm. until I see this caddy. And then I texted the caddy, Mike, that we know. And I was like, look, man, I caddied for this guy. What's the deal? And he's like, you know what? I bailed on him after paying me absolute garbage for a couple of years. Yep. I was done with him. So I talking to this caddy, Brian, I'm like, oh, man, you're going to want to square this away early in the week. He goes, oh, you just ruined my week, my day. I say, well, better than ruining your week. Better you know now than finding out later. So you better get that squared away going forward. You better tell him exactly what you need to get paid, because you do not want to work for what I know you're going to get paid for at the end of the
week. Yeah, I knew this story. As soon as you told me who used to caddy for him, I knew the story, because Mike had told me for the last few years. He says, I don't want to work for him anymore, and he ends up doing it just to get out in the course, but he's actually finally bailed on him. But let's say, just so the listeners can get a sort of ballpark in this, imagine $100 was the going, a decent amount for the week. That was just decent, not really good, not awful, but say 100. This guy is paying 400, so 40. Would you agree? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting analogy, but yes, he is very, very low for the week. Very, very low.
He's about 40% yes. of what you would walk yeah. away with, just not a smile or not crying. You would just be okay.
It's bad.
Shocking.
You wouldn't do the tournament. You would say, no, I'm good. I don't need to work. You know, I'd rather take the week off than work for that.
Is the guy going to do it?
He's, you know, I talked to him. He's like, oh, I got to get this message, or I got to phone him in. He was going to talk to him. So he was going to do it, but he was going to tell him beforehand, this is what I need to get paid. I said, look, you need to tell him in no uncertain terms, this is what it is, because that is unacceptable. You can't let that guy go on thinking that's what people are going to get paid out here, because it's just not it.
Yeah, just because the people that make his electronic product out in Kathmandu are making $12 a month.
Correct. That doesn't mean we have to.
Yeah.
And we won't. Yeah. I would, I mean, if that guy contacted me, I put every person I caddy for, I put what they paid me in my records, and I know
their calendar.
In my calendar. First and last
name. That's
why
he's got two calendars, folks. Yeah. And then one so he can put it down, the request, and the other one so he's got how much they paid him.
To the highest bidder.
That's classic. Well, I don't think I'll frequent the tent much more than sort of once a day, and it'll be, I just loved it when they had something different each day, a sandwich.
Yeah, it used to be better when they would mix it up. They would just cook there on site and have somebody cater it.
The best one we ever had was the senior event, and it was the year there was no tent and there were no spectators, and each day they brought a different food truck.
Oh, that was good.
That was good. Brilliant, because then it's just changing it up.
Well, hopefully come tournament time, all the good food is back now that the AMs are, it's back in full swing. We're hoping
you
those,
think?
Yeah.
You that, think they'll, I don't
that
think
pizza,
so.
That pizza, oh, you know that pizza.
Oh,
that
on the course. So,
yeah, on the
yes,
course. Yeah,
yes.
Because, I mean, they allow caddies to eat that food, but they cater more to the players, so they put the good stuff out there.
A couple of years ago, my player was looking for me to change club in a par three, and I was still in the pizza tent.
Sorry, bro. I got pizza to eat over here. I don't really care what the shot's playing. This pizza's too damn good.
It's funny how the stress level of you as a caddy, because a couple of years ago I worked this tournament and I hated it. It was just awful.
I know who you worked for then, yeah.
Didn't like my player. It was just purgatory for you know, 3-4 days. And the one thing I could look forward to was the different food on the course. And unfortunately, the rotation we had,
They gave you the shite tea times.
Oh, we had the shite tea times, and the food was either cold, or what the pizza people did.
Packed up and left.
They packed up and left, and they just left maybe two pizzas in a box. Do you know what I mean?
That's funny.
It was just cold. Yeah. And yeah, that was going to be one of the sort of highlights of the day. But it's certainly the highlight of the week for you, Zabo. Dinner, bed and breakfast.
Shameless. No, the highlight of the week for me is going to be come Sunday when we're collecting that third title.
Yeah, shameless, absolutely shameless. I can't believe it. You make Man Bun look like an amateur when it comes to the caddy hospitality.
Hey, bro, I'm a caddy. I like free food.
Did you grab something for the wife and your daughter?
I did not, no.
You didn't, so you didn't even load up for them?
I offer, but do they really want to eat Chipotle? Come on.
Well, do you? Well, obviously.
It's free.
Right. Well, we need to move on. We're going to move on to, we've got a bunch of mailbag questions and some feedback, and then our shout outs. before we move on to anything else, I'll get this in now. We're just about to hit the 1,000 followers on Twitter.
Ooh, sky's the limit after that.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. It's exciting. It probably sounds really sad to a lot of people. And actually, when I think about what I just said, it's
not that exciting.
Sad. No, it's pretty sad. Anyway,
but you haven't been on Twitter forever, so it's,
no, I've only taken it seriously lately, and I'm kind of it's quite interesting. But it's definitely if I have to do social media, it's definitely the one I prefer. Yeah,
it is more fun.
If you do have a social media account and you're not currently following, you need to check out Glorified Donkey, and that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and also subscribe to the Glorified Donkey YouTube channel, because we will be doing some video this year. I'm working on that right now to get our location. We started off in episode 103 with our first episode in a series to help people improve their golf game.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Zielowski, actually texted me.
What's up, Brian?
Yeah, great episode, boys. Thank you for the shout out. Been needing some mindless enjoyment. Mindless, thank you.
Ouch.
Wow.
Ouch.
I was confused about your tips because you boys repeatedly say no one cares about your golf game. Correct. No one cares about your golf game apart from you. However, if that's exactly how we felt, we wouldn't even do this podcast.
But we know you care so much about your game, we want to help you improve your game.
Yes. We can do.
That's the point.
We just want to make people get better, so check out YouTube and also listen to episode 103. If you are a new listener, this is episode 104, so get back and listen to the back catalogue if you're jonesing for a new episode. Zabo, we got a question here from Australia, from a Michael Baugh.
Okay, Michael.
And he says, episode 101, there are a number of rules a golfer shouldn't break. White pants, visor, towel in his belt or a back pocket.
Indeed.
In Australia, my golfing friends are equally divided on the following. Can you use a ball retriever? Okay, now I don't think it's whether you can or you can't.
Yeah, of course you can, but should you? No.
You shouldn't half say that you should comment on this dilemma. What do you think?
It's different for us as caddies because I just cringe if I ever see one. How often do you see a ball retriever? I mean, maybe twice a year, if that. I mean,
I would say a wee bit more than that.
Really?
Once a month.
You see one once a month?
Once a month.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see
You're not looking for them, though.
That's true.
Maybe the more episodes you do, the more you'll start looking for this stuff and you'll start taking photographs.
Ball retrievers. My goodness.
I think I personally would never have a ball retriever.
No.
And it could be an age thing. Now, your value system changes as you get older as well. There was a day where you would have seen me crawl over broken glass for a Slazenger.
Of course.
Golf ball.
Yeah.
Now, I have so many golf balls, I give them away.
Yeah, as caddies, we have more probies than we know what to do.
Correct. Yeah. Now, your value system has changed. So, I personally would never have a ball retriever, and I hope I would never have one. But I watch my dad and his pal Jackie. They each have a ball retriever. And what's quite annoying when you play with them is if they hit one in the bushes, I think if you have a ball retriever and you're looking for golf balls, it's like crack. Because once you start...
Yeah, you're not going to stop at just your own. Yeah. Oh, I found mine. Well, here's three more I could find. Yeah.
How was your game of golf today, Dad? Oh, brilliant. Actually, I found 16 balls on the right side of 11. You know that place everyone hits it? Yeah. Really? Really?
Yeah, that's how you're gauging your game now? Yeah.
No, I was going to ask, how did you shoot? Was it a good fun? No, how many balls did you find? Oh, and Jackie found 22 last Wednesday. So maybe there was a corporate event. So I wouldn't. But again, from a carry point of view, don't expect a carry to carry one of those things.
Leave those ball retrievers at home. We don't want to see them.
There was a guy before Christmas had one in his bag, and I can't remember what kind of bag. It was probably a cart bag, and I'm on the back of the cart, so I'm not having to carry it. But my bib, because we have all sorts of ties on them and pockets and stuff, get tangled in amongst the spring part, because some of those ball retrievers have a spring with a hook and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine, as I jumped off, you can imagine,
comes with it.
With my girth and weight, coming off the back of the cart, just ripped the head straight off of the ball retriever. Yes,
that's what you get for bringing a ball retriever. It's broken.
I said, I'm sorry, mate. I don't think you'll be picking up many balls with that. But Michael, I think it's more of an ego. Not an ego, is it a respect thing? I think you're going to get more respect if you don't have a ball retriever.
Yes, you will be made fun of here.
Don't always read a book by its cover unless they have a ball retriever.
And or iron covers for that matter.
But yeah, they probably have iron covers as well.
Yep.
Now, our next question, you actually get this because I can't read it. It's from Chang again.
Oh, yeah, Chang.
I think Chang's just a narcissist who wants to hear his name.
Let me read this. This was sent by Chang this morning.
Okay.
Chang says, my question, my wife, who wouldn't hurt a hair on your head, is playing with her friends the other day. They are on the green and someone from the group behind hits the ball almost onto the green, which is pretty rude unless it was a one in a million shot. My wife and friends continue to playing, and then all of a sudden, a guy who hit the ball is screaming at them from the fairway, it's my ball. Now, that is chain talk. I did not misread that. My wife and friends continue playing, and then all of a sudden, the guy who hit the ball is screaming at them from the fairway, it's my ball. They walk to their cart, and again, the guy is yelling, it's my ball. One lady decides to drive to the man to see what's going on. The man drives past and comes up to my wife yelling, it's my ball! My wife, scared to heck, shows him her ball, which is a green, yellow one, and then points at the fringe of the green and says, that is your ball, her voice trembling. He looks over, sees it, and says, oh, okay, and then just walks off. WTF. What do you do, and how would you handle it? I told her she should have stepped on the ball or run over and throw the ball into the rough. What do you do, G?
We never take a question from him again. And we
that's the
number.
First thing. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing. I tell you what, Chang's wife and her friends, that sounds like a fun group that we'd want to carry for, huh?
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you.
Trembling. I mean, trembling. What do you do? You go get your husband?
Oh, yeah, Jackie Chang. Yeah, that's what she should do the next time, right? Just tell him she's Mrs. Chang and her husband's called Jackie.
Wow.
And that'll sort things out.
I mean, what do you do? You say, get out of here, you moron. We left your ball there where you hit it.
Yeah, I would say at that point, if he starts shouting, anyone starts raising their voice on the golf course, to me it's on.
It's absurd.
It is. Absurd. It brings up the question, though, of the whole time to shout for. It happened again this week where a ball rolled up in the green on a par four. Big deal.
I do that all the time. Like, if a guy can maybe get there, but he's going to get there and it's just going to trickle on, just send him. You know, you're not going to hit it to him on the fly. You have no chance to hit it to him on the fly. If it's going to roll up at their feet, whatever. Yeah. You don't want to wait for 10 minutes, then duff the shot. You know, mm-hmm. You're better off just hitting now. Maybe get it there. Chances are you're still going to duff it. But maybe if you get it there, it's going to trickle up on their feet. They're not going to be that upset, typically.
And they shouldn't be.
People are ridiculous.
People are. Have you ever seen someone really get hit hard on a course by a ball?
Yes. Header. Right in the dome piece. I think I told this on the podcast. It was in one of the Tiger Woods Foundation tournaments. Shotgun start. We were at the big course starting on 18. Group on 17. Guy missed club by his caddy probably. Totally nailed the guy on the fly in the skull. Put him down. Cracked his skull open. It was brutal. Brutal.
Oh.
I mean, he lived. Big concussion, ambulance, and all that. But yes, I saw a guy get nailed on the fly straight to the skull. It was terrifying.
Wow.
It sounded like a tree limb got hit when it hit his skull. It was brutal. I was the only person who saw. Everybody else was looking over, but I saw the ball come into contact with his head. They didn't even yell for it at all. It was brutal. Yeah. And the kid, the guy was like 80 years old. His kid was so mad. It was bad.
We heard a story actually this past week, didn't we? We're going to try and get it for a future episode.
Oh, this story is so good. I want to tell it, but I want to give the person that it happened to the chance to tell it if he wants to. If not, we're going to tell it. But
we
this
gotta
is
give Jimmy the opportunity.
It is a Jim story, and oh man,
people always ask us, "Have you ever seen a fight in the golf course?"
Jimmy did,
and Jimmy saw it.
He did,
and
it's legendary.
Okay, well, I'll be with him next week, so I'll try and get out of him next week. And if not, you can tell the story.
I can't wait.
Chang, here's a piece of advice.
Better
That's
questions.
Not a question.
Better
That's,
questions.
That's
Shane.
A
Come
dreadful
on.
Question. That's a dreadful question. Your boy Dick Pounds was in touch.
Oh, was he?
And no, that's not Dirty Mind, folks.
It's an actual man. Richard Pounds.
Richard Pounds.
Dick Pounds.
Dick Pounds. And he is almost like, because you said that was your favorite, one of your favorite names.
It's the best name of all time.
So he had actually emailed in a couple of things. I had given him a hard time about his attire at a local municipal golf course. He was wearing a t-shirt. And he said that, do you think because it's a lesser golf course, you should change the attire? So if you went to an expensive steakhouse, you would dress better than you would if you were going to your local muni. What do you think about that?
I don't disagree with that. I mean, that's the way it is. Personally, I wouldn't do that. I'm going to wear the same golf clothes I wear at any course,
mm-hmm.
which is nice golf attire, collared shirt. And
he says in Austin it gets to 105 degrees in the summer.
The difference between a t-shirt and a short-sleeve collared shirt is that much.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. We actually agree on that one, Zabo. He also says, please ask Zabo if a hole-in-one in a simulator counts.
Dick, come on, Dick, get out of here.
You're never going to live that
Be
one down.
Be reasonable, Dick.
You are never going to live that one down.
No, it does not count.
I'll tell you what, there's another one that you know, I don't think you should ever live down either. Please explain to me this one.
Okay, shoot.
This was sent to me. He will remain unnamed. It said, best line from Zabo. Quote. This is a quote.
Oh, jeez.
I would put my chipping game up against any PGA Tour player.
Did I say that?
You said that.
I'll go out and chip. I mean, I can chip.
I would put my chipping game up against any PGA Tour player. You said that. This is like the Zabo roasting episode.
Well, I mean, that is a bold statement, but I am...
There's bold, I mean, and then there's that. That's off the charts.
We're on a podcast. We say things. But no, I'm a damn good chipper. I mean, that's by far the strongest aspect of my golf game. I mean, it's something I put in a lot of work at. I can't go out there. My body breaks down if I go out and beat balls for hours on end, but I can sit there and chip all day, and I love chipping.
I'm going to read you another quote.
Oh, here we go. From me?
Yes.
Who sent this in?
This came from you.
No, but who brought it to your attention?
I'll tell you after. I'm going through my text thread with Zabo here.
Okay.
Are you going for breakfast tomorrow? He replies, is the Pope Catholic?
That was free breakfast at Caddy Hospitality, in case you were wondering.
This was about ping pong. And you told me how great you were at ping pong, and then we had a wee bash around, and I won
every
point.
And shipping. Ping pong and chipping, that's my thing.
I can admit I'm not as good at golf as I think, but I am a ping pong wizard.
I am a ping pong wizard.
How many games have you played up there so far?
Just one.
You win?
I did not.
You came up against Gandalf. That's funny.
Yeah. Josh Mizzler beat me. I mean,
Is he a good player?
He is good, yeah. He knows what he's doing. I haven't played since last year, but that's no excuse.
I once beat Trevor Immelman at a game of ping pong about 15 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can play too. I mean, we rallied for a bit. We didn't really play a game. But
I had a table tennis table at home. So I did
up there and play before the end of the week's out.
I did a lot of reps. Well, I don't spend much time. I know you're living there. You've got a tent in the corner.
Yeah.
I don't spend much time up there.
Some naps up there. I mean, they've got good couches.
Well, when you said, I'm half decent at table tennis. But it's the kind of thing that you think you're half decent, but you're actually shite compared to, you know, some other people.
There's always somebody who's better.
There's always someone that's better than you. It's one of those things. I remember I was really good at badminton. Do you have badminton in America?
Yeah.
So I'm really good at badminton at primary school and when I go to high school, pretty solid. And then I go to uni. I was trying to stay off the drink on a Monday night. So I was like, oh, there's a badminton.
Let's play badminton. That's a good idea.
Badminton club on a Monday night at the Kelvin Hall.
Not a lot of drinkers there.
Exactly. So I go down there, and this is where all the Asians were hanging out, Koreans and Japanese and whatever else. And I went, oh, okay, this is interesting. I'll tell you, I played one game, and I walked out. I got beaten 21-0. This guy,
thanks
was,
for coming.
This boy was doing, he couldn't speak English, but I tell you what, he was
could
doing,
play a hell of a game of badminton.
Well, I'd never seen anyone jump up and hit a smash, but their legs popped up at 90 degrees so they could then really put, because I was, you know, being bigger, you could usually just use what you had in your shoulder. This guy was putting the whole body weight into a smash, and we played with the feather shuttlecocks.
Oh, wow, the real ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I lost, I played one game, you know, warming up was fine. They were just kind of just toying with me though, like a cat and a mouse. And I thought, oh, we'll show the boys what the Ayrshire kid can do. Absolutely humped, 21 zip.
Wow.
And they were supposed to rotate. I grabbed my racket and I left. Went to the pub. I was like, oh, no.
See you later.
I was talking to a guy.
Not my game.
I was talking to a guy on Twitter this week, actually, because I posted a picture of one of those big leather bags from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he sent me a picture of all of the clubs he only plays with, golf clubs and equipment from before the, I think, 1990.
Wow.
He said he shoots plus or minus two from 80.
Wow.
And I thought, well, why don't you use the new stuff? He said, I've no interest. That does not interest me. And I thought, shooting 80 does, though.
Yeah, seriously. Technology's come a long way.
What's the oldest club you have?
My three-wood. I have an old Ping I-2 three-wood that I will never get rid of. It's probably 30 years old.
Why not?
It's just, it works. It's my dad's club. It's, yeah, it works.
So if it wasn't your dad's, it'd be gone, wouldn't it?
No. I mean, I love the club.
While I mentioned Twitter, we were discussing a wee bit earlier on. Patrick Reed actually blocked both myself and Zabo.
He did, that bastard.
Well, I was doing something about him, and I didn't know. I'd logged on, and I couldn't remember what his handle was, so I'd searched for him, found him, went to his account, and it said blocked.
Mm-hmm. And I was just blocked the other day by him. You make one or two comments of the guy blatantly cheating. He doesn't take kindly to that.
I think the world of golf, it needs to do something about this, because it's quite clear that his ball was in a tree and he went to the wrong tree. He's at it. He ends up finishing second at a tournament.
Where he should have been disqualified from.
He should have been disqualified. Yeah, yeah. The game of golf is spineless.
For the fourth time that's been documented on video. I mean, it happened three other tournaments that you can go to YouTube, search Patrick Reed cheating, and see him blatantly cheat three other times on video. All four tournaments, he should have been disqualified.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that he continues to get away. You would hope, now playing for Liv, the Saudis don't take kind of that sort of thing. Maybe like a loss of finger or beheading or something like that. I mean, they kill people for worse than cheating. I mean, unbelievable.
Now, we got a question here from a David Ball, and he's in Orlando, in Florida. Do the rules of golf specify what types of objects are and are not appropriate to use as ball markers on the putting green?
I mean, I couldn't speak to that. No, I don't have no idea. I don't know.
Well, actually, I did the key takeaways from this. The rules of golf recommend using a coin or an object specifically made to be used as a ball marker, right? There is no rule against it.
They recommend. They recommend, but they don't tell you what you have to
use. It's just considered poor golf etiquette to use unusual objects.
Is it legal to use a tee as your marker?
Yes. You can use a beer can.
You can?
Yep.
Like legally?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there is absolutely no rule about what you can and can't use, but it's just seen as poor etiquette.
Well.
So, I remember John Daly hit a tee shot off of a beer can once.
And that's legal.
That is legal.
Wow.
Well, no. He got fined.
No, he did. Yeah. He did that in a tournament?
He did.
No, good for him.
Yeah, he was fined by the PGA Tour, which was pretty disgraceful, to be honest. All he was trying to do was recycle.
Hey, have a little fun.
Yeah, so excellent. Folks, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any feedback, please send them in. You can email podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or on one of the social media platforms that I previously discussed. We now have to move on to our notable mentions. What you got?
Oh, we're ready now? I thought we were going to take a break. I got to shout out Thomas Howell, our good friend Thomas Howell. We're going to see him in about 2 weeks. The match between G and Zabel is officially scheduled. That's happening February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Well, I'm trembling. I'm like Chang's wife here, trembling after, you know.
It's kind of shaky. Yeah, I can see it.
The best chipping game in the world of golf.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hit so many greens, it's not going to, my chipping's not going to come into play. But
Thomas, looking forward to seeing you. I think we will talk. So Thomas is a teaching pro. Is that how you describe him?
He is. He's a golf tech teaching pro, and he does great work. Smart guy.
Might even try and get him in the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
That would be, get a perspective of a sort of teaching professional. Who else?
We got to shout out all our boys, Mitch Rigsby. Got to shout out Amir.
Yeah, all the crew from Richmond, Virginia, Hermitage Golf Club. JR,
Mike, we didn't mention Mike. Mike's leaving beer cans everywhere. He was that guy the first day. Gordon's caddying for him. He's like, Mike, your beer's over here. Your beer's over here. I mean, every single hole, just leaving it by the green. Mike,
nice lad. Yeah, but, yeah.
Super nice.
Very guy. Forgetful.
Got to also definitely shout out my good friend Doug Burton. Doug Burton, actually, he sent me an Instagram. Gordon just absolutely loved this. He sent me an Instagram story of Harry Hall, a PGA Tour player, and he was in his Instagram story, he was showing like dining and the Chipotle dining, and then he's walking through the through the caddy hospitality, and you can see me there eating Chipotle. So Doug takes a screenshot of it and circles my face there, and then sends it to me. So I, of course, have to forward it to Gordon. He's
I think I'll post it. Actually, I think I'll have to post that so people can at least look. So whenever this episode comes out, look through the Twitter feed; you'll find it.
Yeah,
absolutely. No shame. Absolutely no shame.
Love some free food.
Yeah, I want to shout out Matty Parsons, who's out in the East Coast, broke his ankle. Just before Christmas, had surgery on it, so no golf for him.
Ooh,
golf for Matty. Shout out to my good mate Justin Wallace, who will be down this weekend. So we'll look forward to seeing him.
Good.
And my mate back in Scotland, Sean Wiseman. He's been back listening to the podcast.
Is that Sean from Kingsburn?
Kingsburn.
Oh, nice. So shout out to you, Sean. I met you while I was out there.
Hopefully see you in April. So that brings us to an end, Zabo. And not about time, because the wind's picking up here.
It is getting gusty.
It's getting gusty. We have to go, folks, because Chipotle just opened its doors.
They did. It's 11 o'clock. We got to get going. Yeah.
Zabo's got to get his Chipotle fix in today.
I am getting a little hungry.
Zabo, many thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Look forward to the next time. And yes, like I said earlier, get on, help us out, share the podcast, rate and review it, listen to the back catalogue, and follow us on the social media, etc. Thanks for listening, and until the next time, enjoy your golf.